please rise as we sing together out of our red hymnals. This is Trust and Obey, number 467.
If you would please join with me in our call to worship and congregation, you are the bold print. How manifold are your works, O Lord.
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created.
And so you renew the face of the earth.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will praise my God while I have my being.
And then at this time, we turn to page 881 in our hymnal for our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Blessed Thought, 128.
Please be seated. At this time, let us continue with our prayer of confession, all in unison. Without your power, O God, we are lost. We have done the things we would avoid, and what you desire, we have not done. By your purifying fire, transform our lives. Guide us into honesty and compassion, so that filled with your peace, our dreams and visions may be one with yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I will pray our declaration of forgiveness. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the power in whom we live and move and have our being, you are forgiven. At this time, let us have our ushers for our offertory. Okay. At this time, can we have all of our children for our children's moment? Very rarely will this happen. Lay reader, children's sermon, etc. So you will be done when I'm done with this. Okay. You guys want to come have a seat up here for me, please? Okay. Right around here. We'll wait for two more. Okay, the name of our little sermon this morning is Who Has Good Hearing? Do you all have good hearing? Do you hear mom or dad or grandma or grandpa say, it's time to pick up your room? You hear that? Good boy. Okay, so our theme is God hears us, all right? And it is from the scripture out of God's word, the Bible, and out of Psalms, the book of Psalms, it says, the Lord will hear when I call him. Okay? So, I'm going to show you a picture. What is this picture of? It is a kangaroo. Kangaroos are from where? Can anybody tell me where do they come from? Close. It's a big, 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 big island.
I know.
And it's a continent.
Where?
What is it? Where? Okay. Close. All right. But kangaroos come from Australia. You are absolutely correct. They come from Australia, Tasmania, and New Guinea. Okay? Look like the kangaroo?
The kangaroo is much bigger and much
faster, bouncier. Okay, all right. So kangaroos are faster than rabbits. All right, they are very large animals, and they move by hopping on their hind legs and using their tails for steering and balancing. You are correct. They can hop at speeds as fast as 40 to 60 miles per hour. Okay, that's pretty fast. Can you tell me what a daddy kangaroo is called?
It's big, but it's larger and long.
It is, okay. But a daddy kangaroo is called a buck, okay. The mommy kangaroo is called what? A doe, close. All right, and what's the baby kangaroo called? A joey, we knew that one. Okay. Can you see that kangaroos have very large ears, okay? They have very, very large ears.
They're larger than people's ears.
You're right, larger. They're smaller than elephants, but they are very large for the kangaroo. They have excellent hearing, and what the kangaroo can do is they can swivel their large ears in all directions. Swivel them back, forward, side to hear and pick up sounds, okay? So we can see that his ears are very large. So we're going to have a little hearing test, okay? If you have on any type of hearing aid device, you may want to turn it down for just a moment, okay? So if you were in trouble and you needed to shout help, you would shout really loud, right? Okay. Let me hear if you can do that. One, two, three.
Help!
Okay, you can turn your hearing aid back on. Now, let's everyone whisper the same word, okay? Oh, okay. Well, now you can whisper. So, on the count of three, we're going to whisper. One, two, three. Okay, that was a good whisper. Could you hear that? Could everyone hear our whisper? Okay.
Yes.
Maybe. Now, how about if we just think? If we just think the word help. Let's see what that's like. So I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes, and on the count of three, I want you to think help as hard as you can, okay? One, two, three, think. Think really, really hard. Okay, so that's done. Did anybody hear that one?
Yes.
Did anybody hear you thinking? Oh, okay. Why don't you think they heard us? Because you were thinking it and you weren't using your voice to let anybody know that you were asking for help. How do you think God's hearing is? He has really, really good hearing. He does know what we're thinking, and Michael's got really good hearing ears also. So do you think he could hear us when we whispered?
Absolutely. Do you think he could hear us when we shouted?
Yeah.
All right. So, do you think he heard us when we just thought, help? Okay. So, God hears us all the time. He hears us whether we shout to talk to him, whether we whisper in his ear, he hears us, or if we just think and talk to Jesus and God, he hears us, okay? So I have awesome news that God has better hearing than the kangaroo. You got it. He heard us even when we yelled, we whispered, and thought. All three times God heard us, okay? So the kangaroo definitely did not hear us. It is. So let us pray. Oh, it's an animal. But it's okay, all right? So, and you're going to, you know what? You're going to get a paper that you can color your kangaroo whatever color you want, okay? So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your ears. Thank you for hearing and answering our call because you care about each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said,
amen.
Okay, so I want you to go ahead.
Well, as you all can tell, Miss Debbie needed assistance today with her class. And Michael, my grandson, which is her son, felt that he needed to help her. And he does that. He does it here. He does it at his school. He just simply, I don't know who he takes after, but he likes to take charge of things. And, you know, just that's good. He felt that she needed Debbie,
I needed help.
You needed help.
Awesome.
That's right.
Thank
That's
you,
just
Michael.
He has no pause button, okay? You can't turn him off. And then when we don't let him talk because her and I are talking, he says, "You guys don't let me talk. You don't let me talk." And I said, "We're trying to avoid that." Okay. Let us come to the Lord with our prayers, requests, and our joys and concerns. Randy and Audrey, and I am going to do my best with the last name. Oiker? Oh, I'm getting better. Praising our Father God for an awesome, wonderful week with our children and grandchildren, and they are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Awesome. Congratulations, and may God continue to bless you. Mary, she's letting us know that Joey Merrill, had an accident, and he is at Champion Hospital. She's requesting prayer for him, of course, and also for Paula, as she traveled back and forth, and she's trying to help him and kind of deal with the situation. We pray for health and healing and just for God's mercy over both of them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment in which you bring us together, Father, and we praise you, Father, for the things, the good things that you allow us to see, like 50 years of union, my Heavenly Father, in love and in following you, a family, my Heavenly Father, that will continue a legacy, Lord, of love and attention and worship. We thank you, Father, for keeping Joey, Lord, and Paula in your hands, my Heavenly Father. Just your mercy on him and just complete health and healing as they go forward. And Father, I pray for the church, the United Methodist Church, as we continue, Lord, to need your holy direction on us, Lord, on each one of your churches as we go towards the future. Bring us all together, my Heavenly Father, that there will be no division, Lord, that can be called because of your word, Lord. You have brought us all together in love, Lord, and care, and save us all. So it is in your name, Father, in the Son, in your Son's name that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our word today comes from three different places. Genesis 5:18, you will find that in your pew Bible on page 8. And then Genesis 5:22, 24, you would find it right next to page 8 on page 9. And the one that would be the farthest in the New Testament, it would be Hebrews 11 and 5. And you will find that on page 1875. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I know that we're talking about Enoch, but this also represents what a woman of God is. So it might sound that I'm kind of directing just to the guys, and in a way I am, because I had wanted to do this sermon on Father's Day. But it is for both of us. There are at least four different men in the Bible named Enoch. It is the only Enoch that is mentioned in Genesis 5:18 that the Bible gives any significant information about. This Enoch was the great-great-great-great-grandson of Adam. Genesis 5:22 and 24. It says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Enoch draws a lot of attention due to the mystery surrounding him. Far too much speculation has gone on about how and why God took Enoch away. Rather than concentrate on the how and the why God did that, let's focus on why Enoch was called a man that walked with God. Enoch's example is by his being a man and or a woman who walk faithfully with God and seek to please him with our lives. That goes for both of us. So what does it mean to be a man of God? A man of God is the description given to a man that follows God in every way, who obeys his commands with joy, who does not live for the things of this life, but for the things of eternity, who willingly serve his God in giving freely of all his resources, yet gladly suffers as a consequence of his faith. Perhaps Micah 6 and 8 sums it up when he says, in one neat verse, he says, a man of God, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Perfect, short, and to the point. I tell you that if we look in the Bible for the things we are to do, how we are to behave, where we are to go for advice, hope, and counsel, we will always find it. And this describes what a man should be and also what a human being should be perfectly. The man of God does not swindle or defraud his employer by turning up late for work or spending an hour on the internet during work hours. He doesn't gossip or slander. He keeps his mind and heart pure by guarding his eyes and his ears from the filth of the world. He is the spiritual leader of his family. He does everything opposite to what the world does or approves. He goes against the grain of society because he knows these things displease God. He considered those who are disadvantaged or those who are rejected by society, those that are lonely or despairing. He is a listener to other people's problems and does not judge. Equally, a man of God who is the employer pays fair wages for a day's work. He shares his good fortune with those that have helped him make it. He is honest, and he's an example of Jesus, who is our greatest leader. Most of all, the man of God understands that when our Lord commanded him, as in Matthew 5:48, to be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect, he is only able to accomplish that because on Ephesians 1:4, again, the Lord tells you what to do, and then he tells you how to do it. On Ephesians 1:4, he says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love." So even before you start to know what a man of God is supposed to look like, to act like, to behave like, you have already been chosen to do that. So it is within you. All you need to do is just bring yourself to it. God enables him to be holy and blameless through his power and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And not because our guy is all that and a bag of chips, you know. I know we think they're great, and they are. They are. But it is the God in them that brings all that greatness afloat. It's not on their own. On our own, we are incapable of holiness and perfection. But through Christ, who strengthens us, we can do all things. The man of God knows that his new nature is that of the righteousness of Christ, which was exchanged for our sinful nature at the cross. You find these promises in the Bible, and they're just for us, both men and women. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Philippians 3:9, it says, "The final result is that he walks humbly with his God, knowing that he must rely solely upon him to be able to live to the full and persevere to the end." It doesn't say that doing the right thing, being the right person, loving your family and putting your family and others first is going to be easy. It doesn't say that everything or anything is going to be given to you by man. It says that everything that you will need is given to you by God, and that he will give it to you abundantly so that you can live to the fullest and persevere, continue doing what you're supposed to do to the end. Perhaps the Christians today are lacking in these qualities, but this is what simple religion is all about, the simple religion that is yet sufficient to please God, helping those in distress and keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. We can have an awareness of all biblical doctrines. We can know all the theology. That word, terms, we might be able to translate the Bible from the original Greek and so on, but the principle of Micah 6:8 is the principle that the man of God must follow, and that is act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. To know what's true, what a true man is, you need to look no farther than the life of Jesus Christ. As the Son of Man, Jesus is the epitome of manhood, the perfect example of what true maturity looks like. A true man like Jesus is obedient to the Father's will, and it's about his Father's business, Hebrews 10 and 9. Like Christ, the godly man will shun sin and follow after righteousness. He will, in the power of the Spirit, seek to keep God's law and live in God's will. He will demonstrate a determination to accomplish God's will, whatever the cost. Isaiah 50 and 7, he will endure opposite and never lose heart. Hebrews 12 and 3. He will be a man of his word, using scripture to overcome temptation. He will be a man of prayer, Mark 1:35. He will be a man of love and sacrifice, John 13 and 1. A true man is someone who has put away childish things. We find that on 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. A true man knows what is right and stands firm in the right. A true man is a godly man. He loves the Lord, he loves life, and he loves those who the Lord has entrusted to his care. I love that, because there's so much going on today about what the role of the woman is and what the role of the man is, and everybody gets hung up on who's supposed to open the door, okay? And I'm thinking, I'll open my own door if I can get someone to love me like that. That's the key thing here. It's not about the door. It's not about who pays for the dinner. It's about being a man of God. So what are the disciplines of a godly man? Well, humility would be one of them. And it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Philippians 2, 3 and 5. A discipline also, it's purity. 2 Corinthians 6 and 6, and it says, we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love, by our speech, by our fruits, by our faith in God, and by our reverence and kindness, and by following the Holy Spirit that has been given to us already. We also find in the discipline, kindness. Proverbs 3:3 says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them within your heart. It also says patience. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Galatians 5:22. Another discipline is forgiveness. And we find that in Colossians 3:13. Make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We do it because we've been commanded to do so, and we forgive others because it's good to our health and to our well-being. Who wants to go through life bringing a whole bunch of people that had done or spoken bad about us or done whatever, you know, whatever offense hanging behind our back? If you're holding anything, anyone in unforgiveness, let them go. Your days would be lighter. I can guarantee that. Another discipline is understanding. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. That's Proverbs 2 and 2. Another discipline is integrity. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked path will be exposed. Proverbs 10, 9. Also, faithfulness. That's another discipline. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11, 2. Also, sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. John 15, 13. We're not talking about anyone today being a martyr. We all have one Savior. We don't need to pick up where Jesus left off. He did it all. But we certainly can sacrifice some of the things, especially those of which have much, for other people. We can certainly stop on the street and listen to the story of somebody that we really don't like. We can listen to the story of somebody that has told us the same story 10 times already, but they don't remember. We can do things for others that will not cost you anything, just a little bit of yourself. That's a sacrifice. You could always give sacrificially. Remember that it's never equal giving. It's always equal sacrifice. And then there's the discipline of love. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God that he has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. 1 John 14:16. That means that when we love with the love of Christ, our neighbors, our friends, even the people we don't know and the people that live far, far away, we are in Christ. But also, Christ is in us. Why is that significant? To me, it's significant because when I'm in need, I need to know that God is right there with me. When I'm in need, I'm not going to be really thinking about the world outside. I need somebody to hold me up, and I need to know that God is in me. A true man like Jesus is obedient to the Father's will and is about his Father's business. This is such a powerful truth, and it's one that Christian men cannot look past. I'd like to leave you with these words that come directly from God to you, men and women. Step up, lead, initiate, be a man of action. Assume it is your job, and assume it is your moment. Hate apathy, reject passivity. I search for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I will not destroy it. But I found none. Ezekiel 22:30. It is because of that, because God is looking for men and women just like you to stand strong, to step up. Not to be passive, not to wait for somebody to tell you what you know very well that needs to be done. You're still, each one of us, even though we are like in the season of our lives, still have a responsibility. And those of you that are still in the prime of your life, still share that responsibility. Don't take things for granted. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't be passive. You got the Word of God in your hand. You have power already given to you. You have been called, even if you don't know what it is that you're supposed to do, but you have already been called to do it. Also, speak out. Silence in the midst of sin is sin. Be courageous, fear God, not man. Speak the truth in love. I know, and it goes for all of us. We all like to say, well, you could have done that better, and I'm guilty of that. You know, let's change this at the last minute and on all that. And kind of like, it's really a way of softly criticizing, but we don't mean to criticize, and we certainly don't mean to be critical of other people. So we'll say, well, I'm going to tell you in love. Well, really, really, before you open your mouth, bring the love to your mind. Let it be your filter between your mind and your mouth. Let love be that filter for you. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. 1 Peter 3:15. So when you feel that you are called to help one of us, that you see that it's slightly going in the wrong direction, God is not saying don't do it. God is telling you do it. But do it with love. Do it remembering me, remembering how much I love you, how much I have forgiven you, and pass that along to the one that needs of your counsel at that moment. In a way, we are our brother's keeper. We cannot just dismiss people from our lives. One of the hardest things for me that stays with me from the refugee camp was the feeling of being thrown away. Don't throw people away. Everybody is valuable. And if you have something that you can say to help them, do so. Just do it with love. That's all that it requires. Then the Lord wants you to know that he wants you to stand strong. Don't give in when you are challenged, attacked, or criticized. It says, now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze against the whole land. To the kings of Judah, to the princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 1:18-19. Again, God is telling you, man of God, woman of God, I am with you. You're not alone. If you're in my word and my word is in you, you will not step wrong. You will do exactly what I am inclining your heart and your spirit to do. Another thing that he wants us to know is to stay humble. It says, be vigilant against pride. Get the log out of your eyes. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. And there is a difference. God is not saying that you're not worthy, and when we are thinking of ourselves, we should never think that we are less than what God has made us to be. We are the apple of his eyes. We are perfect on his sight. He makes us righteous. That's a break of a lifetime. Our sins are forgiven. So we really have a good push forward. But put yourself less. Put somebody else in front of you, just like you guys that are here that have been married 50 years and plus, like Nick and Mary. That's because you're putting each other's first. It's not a 50-50. Some days it's 60-40. Other days it's 90-10. Yes. And other days, pastor, can you come and talk to him? Or, pastor, I think my wife needs to talk to you. You know, that's just the way it is. But as long as you continue with the love between you and in your heart trying to put the other person first, that's what the Lord wants you to know. That's what the Lord wants you to carry with you. Don't think of yourself less. Just put others first. I did not say this. Every single thing that I have said here, I have taken it from the Word of God. And I know that I have given you many verses. And I know that not all of them are in the back of the program. But I was kind of hoping that if anything resonated, you would go back and read it. And it would be your map for the week. It might be the thing that you want to explore more in the Word of God. We're not perfect. We're not meant to be perfect. We are not called to be perfect. But we are called to be significant in each other's life, in the life of the church, and certainly in the world that surrounds us. So as we go forward, not only the guys in our lives, and I want to say that I appreciate every single one of you, fathers, grandfathers, men, male in general, but I also want to say that each one of you women, you uphold the man, you uphold the friend, you uphold your children and your grandchildren. And we also have the same responsibility as they do. This is what it takes to walk with God. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you're loving, gracious God. Thank you that you offer us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect, it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray that our lives would be filled and overflowing with the power of your love so that we can make a difference in this world and bring honor to you. We ask for you to help in reminding us that the most important things are not what we do outwardly. It is not based on any talent or gift, but the most significant thing that we can do in this life is simply to love you, to choose to love others in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn, number 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms.
Now receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, we come in need to walk in the hope that only you can give. My way is unclear. The path is sometimes filled with twists and turns and confusion. Show us your ways, Lord. Show us how you could walk in these places. Teach me your path of grace, mercy, integrity, and love. Help me to grasp your ways so I can walk securely in them, even in the valley of darkness. Lord, I need to know your perceptive. Help me, Lord Jesus, to focus on your ways. Have a wonderful week. All of us, let's be men and women of God. God bless you.
Go now in peace.